to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Now, I had a young woman that said, if I ever preached here at this church, she'd sit on the front row. But she never did get up and come up to the front row, and I left the whole front row right there open. I would call her name, but if you look over in that section, you can probably tell her because she looks like Rudolph, the way she's red right now. I ain't going to call her name, but she got on a green shirt. All right, let's all stand. Amen. I like to have fun. Genesis chapter number 6. I want us to look here for just a few moments in this, and I'm going to be going on to some other text. I guess I better hump my glasses. I'll throw them away in my coat. Here we find the story that I'm sure that everybody is probably familiar with about Noah. The Bible said here in verse number 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your kindness and your mercy and grace. And dear God, we need your help this morning. Dear Lord, I believe in my heart, God, that some people walked in this morning that's lost. Dear God, there may be some people sitting here this morning or standing here this morning. Lord, they may be a member of this church. They may be baptized, but God, they've never been born again. God, we realize people's come in this morning and they got a lot of things on their shoulders. Lord, a lot of situations, some going through storms and heartaches and troubles and sorrows. Oh, Lord, I pray this morning, if you would, for just a little while, just magnify yourself in our presence. Lord, that we may lift you up, God, for just a few minutes, Lord, that somebody could get a glimpse of how holy and righteous that you are. Oh, God, that you are the answer to their problem and their situation. And God, all that really matters in this life is you. Lord, let us look to you and seek your face. May you move in the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin to look here in this scripture that is very familiar about Noah. Now, Noah had found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was an old man. He wasn't a young man. In chapter number 7, the Bible said, I believe it was in chapter number 7, that Noah was about 600 years old when he went in the ark. Verse number 6 of chapter 7, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters was upon the earth. Noah wasn't a young man. So if you've got the idea that only young people can do something for the Lord, if it's only the middle age that can do something for the Lord, or that God would require you to do something, that's a false statement. God can use you no matter who you are. Here in this service today, God can use you. Now what he will use you for, I do not know. But he knows, and he wants to use you this morning. I believe that. I believe that you can be a witness and a testimony to other people around you. Every one of us sitting here this morning that's been saved by the grace of God can be a witness and testimony to somebody else. And if we are going to be a witness and testimony, we need to be about the Lord's business because time is getting short. I've been to the hospital this week, I don't know how many times, spent most of the days of this week from young and old. And I know that life is precious, and sometimes it goes quickly, and sometimes it's up in years. I had a 10-year-old grandson a little over two years ago. I never thought that I'd get a phone call and say, come to the hospital. And we went. He died in this old body. He didn't die. I don't like that word die because you're not going to die. I'm just a passing on to another land. But we realize that it does come. Now here we find that Noah is an old man, but God has required of him something to do. And Noah here with a great task that's put before him. I don't want to stay here too long on this. But I just want you to catch a few things dealing with the age and dealing with what happened to Noah. Noah was here in a time that the men was exceedingly wicked. They were marrying, giving in marriage. In Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, the Bible said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're living in that day. And in that day, the day and hour we're living in. And we see that as we live in this day, and we see what was happening then, and we saw the judgment of God then we need to realize that the judgment of God will also come on America. We are not immune from God's hand or God's wrath. God gets fed up with sin. He is gracious, long-suffering, merciful, but God gets fed up with sin. And I want you to know, when God gets so fed up, then one day God, the mercies of God, he's going to stop and he's going to say, all right, I've had enough. I've had enough. He'll do it in your life and he'll do it in my life and he'll do it in our nation. He will not tolerate it but certain length of time. Now, Noah, God gave Noah a task to do. He said, I want you to build this ark. Well, number one, I can look at this and see that he gave him a task to do that everybody looked at him and thought, you're an idiot. You're taking your family, your sons, your daughter-in-laws, your wife, you are going out here and you're starting a task that is for nuts. You're a nutcase. You're a fanatic. What do they call Christians today? They say we're fanatics because we believe what we believe. But Noah believed the God of heaven. Noah found grace in God's eyes. They didn't find grace. They found judgment. But because Noah began to do what God told him to do, and he minded God, and the Bible said he is a preacher of righteousness, so the continual time Noah is preaching to these people, Noah is trying to get these people to understand. He's trying to witness to them. He's trying to get them to wake up and realize God is fed up with a mess. God's tired of your sins, and God is going to send judgment. God has told me to build this ark. And they'd laugh at Noah, no doubt. They'd look at him and they'd say, who are you to judge us? Why are you preaching it to us that God's going to destroy us? They couldn't see anything wrong with what they're doing. And that's the very way it is today and the day and hour we're living in. A man of God can get up and preach and he'll say, why are you judging us? You as a Christian can try to witness to somebody and you just tell them what the Bible says and they say, why are you trying to judge us? Well, if you're giving them what the Word of God says, it's not you that's judging them. It's the Word of God that's judging them. But we hate for somebody to tell us what to do. And people does not like that. They do not like for you to point out what they're doing wrong. We are quick to point out what everybody else is doing wrong, but we don't want nobody to show us what we're doing wrong. And if somebody lays a finger on that, then we have a problem. Folks, we need to realize that the man of God is not trying to hurt you. The preacher, the Sunday school teacher, a Christian is not trying to hurt you, but trying to help you when they give you scripture and point you towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do, is point people towards the Lord. Because we've got our minds in this mindset in the day and hour we're living. We're letting television dictate us. We're letting the news dictate us. We're letting all these things dictate our lives and telling us what to wear. I mean, you can look around. Where did these kids ever get the idea of letting their pants fall down to their knees and, you know, keep pulling them up, become a one-arm, person. They run around one arm on their pants and one arm to move with. I mean, who wants to hire a one-armed man? So when you look, what's dictating all this? We're listening to a voice that's not from heaven. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we act, our mindset is coming from this world and not from the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah did not pay any attention to these people. They mocked him. They made fun of him. But he kept just walking down the line. Some people say, well, I'm tired of people talking about me. I'm tired of them making fun of me. I'm tired of going to school and trying to be goody-goody. I like to get in there with that crowd and just have a good time. Or I'm tired of trying to witness these people to office. They don't want to listen to me. And it sort of pushed me aside, and I'm not in the in crowd. Listen, folks, whatever you're doing for the glory of God, you better keep doing it. You better keep walking down that straight and narrow way. You better keep walking righteously and living godly before Him. Because I tell you what, Noah could have stopped any time he wanted to. He could have said, what's the use? You know, man, this is a monstrosity of a job, and it's going to take me forever to do this. And there's not been any rain anyway. He could have said that, and he could have went on. And I know a lot of people today, I've heard it all my life, and my father heard it, my grandfather heard it, and he's never come yet, but he is coming. Noah kept working. Noah kept preaching. Noah kept walking right and living right and walking right and talking right. And they kept making fun and they kept laughing and they kept ridiculing. But guess what? One day Noah walked upon that boat. Could you think it for a moment in your mind, if you were out here, if you leave out this church this morning, Brother Tom, and you seen elephants and giraffes and every kind of animal you think was a marching out that road, would it not make you think something was going on? But the whole time that this took place, they never once changed their mind about what Noah preached, about what God said. You may live in this day and hour, and you may be laughed at. You may be mocked at. You may be made fun of. You may not be out there with that in crowd doing what they're doing. But I'll tell you what. In all reality, when Noah went on that boat and when the door was shut, guess what? What? He was thinking in his mind, I believe, what I'd think in my mind, God, I've done what you told me to do. And he's seeing all these animals. He knew God's working in it. His heart probably breaking for those people out there standing out there going, what in the world is going on? That man's gone crazy and so's all the animals. Jesus, he's really all that matters. He's really all that matters. See, it didn't matter what they said. Animals come in. Noah gets up there, looks out. God said, that's time. Get in the boat. God shuts the door. When God shuts the door, all that really matters is he did what God told him to do. He's shut in. They're shut out. They did not want to hear. They did not want to listen. They did not want to do what God said, and they got shut out. One day, trumpet's going to sound. Everybody that's saved and birthed in the family of God's going to leave here, and whoever is not saved, Brother Terry, they're going to be left behind. God's going to shut the door on you. If you've never been born again, God's going to shut the door on you. And you'll never have that opportunity. You'll be led to believe a lie, and you won't have an opportunity to get in. That door will be shut one day. If you look over in 1 Samuel, and I just want to mention to you in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as you look over there, I want you to notice something about a young man named David. Now, for the sake of time, I want to just point out some things about David. And I want to encourage you this morning to really get that thought in your mind, is that he is really all that matters when this life is over. He's really all that's going to matter. A lot of people today, what they're concentrating on is getting a job. They want their children to get an education. They want their children to get a good job. They want to get a good job. And if we're not careful, you know what we're doing? We're out here, we're working, we're laboring, we're trying to give them everything they need, everything they want. And in the process of it, we miss their whole life. What good is it if you do nothing but labor and work and build up a bank account and your wife runs off and leaves you, or your children do, in the whole process of you doing that? Listen, you better stop and smell the roses while you can. You better stop along the way and just remember, it's all about him. It's not about that money. What good is it to have you $1 million in the bank and you can't get outside the door of your house to spend it? What good would it be? I know people like that. I know people very wealthy. They've donated, one man and his family donated one of the wings down here at the hospital, another donated a wing in another hospital. But, Brother Tim, that's miserable. They knew nothing about him. What does it all matter what you have in the end? Nothing. It's going to matter except about him. I don't know about you, I want to stick with him. David was a young man. Now, a lot of you young people right here this morning, there's a lot of you young people, you are to take an opportunity. God has come by and moved in your heart and soul, and I know a lot of you have been saved and birthed in the family of God. I know God can use you this morning. I know God's got a place for you. I just wish I had the voice that Mayo had as he stood up here and sung. Hey, listen, I wish I could sing like that. Man, I'd go borrow the money and pay it if I could buy my voice to sing like that. But I can't sing. Brother Tim will tell you, he won't even let me sing the choir. But I would love to have that talent. God's given some of you that talent. He's given you a talent to use for him. If you will use that for the glory of God, there is no telling how far you'll go in the economy of God, and God will use you, and God will bless your life, and you will not have to stand up here and give a testimony one day with tattoos all over you and with a life that's scarred and marred by sin. Hey, listen, if you'll just go with God and listen to God, and I'll tell you what, God will use you in a great and a mighty way. I believe that David was a small young man. He was the youngest of his family. So that you don't have to be old as Noah was to do something for God. You can be young and do something for God. David was very young, but he had the anointing and the Spirit of God upon him. Said over there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, he was the smallest, the youngest, and in verse number 13 said he was anointed. But don't think for a minute that you can't be used by God. David listened to what God said. David, what did he do? Well, he just kept a sheep, preacher. That's all he done. Man, I don't do nothing. I ain't got a special job right now. Only thing I can get is a job flipping burgers at McDonald's or Burger King. Well, whatever you do, you ought to do it for the glory of God. And just remember, it's really all that matters is what it's all about him. It's looking to him. It's serving him. And you can do that to the best of your ability no matter what kind of job you got, no matter what you're doing. Notice what the testimony was about the youngest. Notice what the testimony was about this shepherd boy that didn't do nothing but keep a sheep. In the scriptures there, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, In verse number 17, the Bible said, "And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. He's a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." What kind of testimony could a man have that is out here? He's nothing but a shepherd boy. What a testimony of that young man. There's a lot. They couldn't go through and find that kind of testimony about anybody else, but that little old shepherd boy sure had a testimony. And we find that it's when we look here in man's eyes, they said, he ain't got an important job. He's young. He's inexperienced. But if you'll notice in the eyes of God, he's a man. When Samuel first went over there to anoint the king, God sent him over there. He told Jesse said, "Bring your sons through." Man, the first one come through was the eldest, and he looked at him and said, "Man, he the man." God said, "That ain't him." And he went through, and he said it passed through again. God said, "That ain't none of them." But when they brought David in, God said, "That's the man." See, God don't look on the outside. God looks on the inside of the heart. And he was looking to the heart and soul of David. And you'll find when David, later he was sent home. They went to fight the Philistines. And David's dad said, Jesse said, "Go check on them." And David goes to the battle. Well, who's down there? All the mighty, valiant men of Israel is on the battlefield. Goliath standing over there saying, "Come on, boys, send me somebody over here. Let's fight. Just me and you, one-on-one." I get tickled a lot of times. I look at, we call him Little David. When he's here, I'm telling you, man, you got to lay back and look at him. He would have looked like a midget beside a Goliath. And you think, whoa, what a man Goliath was. Yeah, he'd had to duck the ceiling going out, not the door. Could you imagine all those valiant men with big names and high-ranking names and everything, ranks? Nobody didn't go out to fight Goliath. But David come up. Did David have it in his heart? Was it just because David wanted the riches the king had promised or the daughter that he promised? No, sir. David was concerned. It was all about him. Nothing about him is all about him. And David said, "I'll take care of him." So to speak, Saul said, "You're just a boy. You can't do this." They replayed that in his mind. And David said, "Well, might not." He said, "A bear come out and a lion come out to take one of my lambs." And he said, "I killed them both." And I don't know what all might have been said between the line, but I sort of believe when David said, "Well, I'm all you got because ain't nobody else willing to go." Saul said, "I'd have at it, boy. Here's the armor. Put the armor on." David put the armor on. He said, "Man, I can't move. This ain't going to work. I tell you, the worldly things, they never work. You can't get people saved using the worldly methods and worldly things. It's going to have to be the preaching of the Word of God. It's going to have to be what God said do. Nothing else is going to work." David goes out there with that sling. David didn't go in his name. He didn't go in the name of his daddy. He didn't even mention his name. He didn't even mention his daddy's name because when the battle was over, Saul said, "Whose boy is that?" He didn't even remember who his family was. Didn't remember nothing about him. That's about the way it is in this life. You're worried about what somebody else thinks about you and what they're going to say about you. And in all reality, in just a little while, they won't even remember your name. Don't worry about what they say. Worry about what he says. David goes out there, takes a sling, and I like old country term. He said he slang that song. And he popped Goliath right between the eyes, and Goliath fell over dead. David run, took a sword and cut his head off. There's a lot of you that you face giants. You face giant problems, giant situations, giant storms, giant things in your life that you thought was hopeless and you thought you was helpless, and you've tried every means and every way to get by your situation. Why don't you just look to him? It wasn't David and his accuracy with that sling. It wasn't David and he was just that good. It was the Holy Ghost of God that got a hold of that rock and shoved it when he went in. God took Goliath down, not David. David was just a tool God used. You see, it's nothing really matters but about him. It's all about him. The children of Israel stood around and for a moment, no doubt, they were going, looking at Goliath like that. What did he do? And then they all come to him. The God of heaven's with us, boys, let's get him. And they chased him down. And they whipped him that day. You know why? Because it's all about him. And they finally got their eyes. It's on him. On him. And we begin to look at this and see that David told him, he said, this assembly, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I want you to know this morning, I want you to realize something. Daniel realized it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego realized it. It's all about him. It's not about us. Now, they make mock and make fun of you. Listen, when they throw Daniel in that lion's den and they try to pass laws and do things that are against you and I, they say it's for your good, but when they pass them, you find out it's for your bad. And what they did, they went out there, grabbed Daniel, threw him in his lion's den. Listen, you can listen to this world. You can let them back you down. You can let them mock and make fun of you, and you can heed to it if you want to. I'm going to stay with him. Now, I'm going to tell you why. They threw Daniel in that lion's den, and guess what? The lions did nothing. The lions did nothing. But you'll notice when the king come the next morning and he asked Daniel, he said, hey, is the God you serve able to deliver you? Morning, king. No problem. Took him out of the lion's den. You say, you're sort of paraphrasing. Yeah, that's a little country language. Took him out of the lion's den. But that crowd that had him put in, when they dropped him into the lion's den, lion said, everybody get up, boys. Said, they're about to throw a feast in. And they throwed them in and they killed them all. Them, their families, their children, every one of them, they throwed them in. You see, if you'll stay with God, if you'll walk with God, if you'll live for God, you'll not only have the blessing of God upon your life, but you'll be a witness and testimony to your family and your children and your grandchildren, and you can reach out and get somebody by the hand and help them to get their eyes on him. And one day, when it's all over with, when the door's shut, when the stones roll back, listen, you can smile and thank God all the way. I'm glad I watched him. I'm glad I stayed with him. There's people out of church this morning that's looked at preachers and they looked at deacons and they looked at church members. You know why they're out of church? Because they looked at them. If they'd kept their eyes on Jesus, they'd be here this morning. They'd be in church this morning. You know why a lot of your homes have broken up? Just to be honest, why people's homes are broken up, they got their eyes off of him and got their eyes on something else. A lot of young people have got disobedient and they've talked to their mama any such way and their daddy any such way, and they won't mind and they won't do what's right. You know why? They're not looking at him. You've not got your eyes on God. If you saved and birthed the family of God, you're not going to backtalk your mom and daddy, and you're not going to go against them and rebel against them. If you keep your eyes on him, you'll live right and walk right. But we get our eyes off him, and that's the problem. That's our problem. Some of you here this morning, be honest. You can never look back at a time and a place when the Holy Ghost of God dealt with your heart and convicted your soul. And you came down to an old-fashioned altar. You bowed beside a bedside, or you bowed somewhere on your knees and gave your life to Christ and got birthed in the family of God. I've seen so many people, I like to say, tell me how you got in. A lot of them can ramble about a lot of things, Miss Stewart. Sat with a young boy and his wife, and they were, their home was broken all to pieces. I listened to him for a little while. I said, tell me something. But tell him, I said, have you ever come to a place God's dealt with your heart, convicted your soul, and you bowed on your knees and you let God birth you into his family? Because they professed going to church and they professed a lot of things, and a lot of people do that. But they looked at me and the Holy Ghost of God is touching their heart, brother. You know what's said? Not that way. Not that way. Or they'd made a profession. They got baptized. They joined the church. But never had they got under convicting power of the Holy Ghost and got birthed in. Let me say this morning, if you're here and you've never been born in the family of God, you need to make your way down to this altar and get on your knees and ask God to save you. I don't care whether you're 100 years old, whether you're how young you are, don't matter what kind of position you have. Last church I pastored, after I'd been there a little while, Brother Terry, my Sunday school superintendent, got saved. One of the deacons got saved. One of my Sunday school teachers got saved. A pianist got saved. Say, what happened, preacher? They realized there's never a place in their life. They never come to a place that God convicted their heart and their soul, and they asked God to save them. They just believed that they's all right. What they was doing is all right. If you're here and you've never been saved, you need to get in, because God will shut the door one day. If you're here this morning, all you young people, all you young boys and girls, live for God. Make up your mind today that I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. Because you know what's going to happen? Other people are going to try to draw you away from God. They're going to try to get your eyes off him. And when you get your eyes off him, you'll fall. I assure you, you'll fall. I'll fall. I get my eyes off him, I get in a mess. I get my mind off him, I get in trouble. I'll tell you that. I'll say something I don't want to say. I'll do some things that I don't want to do when I get my eyes off him. But as long as I got my eyes on him, I'm all right. Have you got your eyes on him this morning? It's very important. And after it's all said and all done with, he's really all that matters. Let's stand at our feet. Head bowed and eyes closed. Brother Tim, you come. God knows your heart this morning. I may have made a rambling mess, but I believe with all my heart God speaking to your heart this morning. You need to make a move. Be honest. Be sincere with God. Have you ever been born again, really? Can you look back to that day when you truly got saved? Or can you say, well, preacher, I really don't know. Door's going to shut one day. You need to make up your mind. You need to get your eyes on him. Let them.